Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Hey, God bless you, Philadelphia. I guess we are finally squared away there. You are hearing me, I think, at 9 o'clock Saturday night. I guess maybe you got some time if your date ended early and you're not doing anything. Welcome, Northern New Jersey. Delaware. Oh, my gosh. I can hardly wait to tell a Joe Biden story, but maybe not this program. God bless you all. This is a program we try to start with the good news, try to end with the good news. In between, hang on. It's an e-ticket ride. We cover everything, everything. Try to make sure we stay within biblical guardrails, of course, but there's nothing we leave out. I'm going to start today with the good news is that this program is expanding. It continues to expand. Those of you who are listening to this that want to contact me, criticism, construction, constructive criticism, unconstructive criticism, I can take it all. Seriously, I've done this long enough, and as a lawyer, I get paid to take heat. So that's part of the deal. But you can reach me at Red Sky Radio 777. At gmail.com. Red Sky Radio 777 at gmail.com. So the good news today is thank God that he's still on the throne. He had a day is a thousand years and a thousand years as a day. So there's not any time perspective for God, although he puts us in a time perspective because we kind of don't see one day from another or we make plans and so forth, but Scripture says we are to make plans, but he'll end up ordering our steps. And I'll tell you why this is good news, because there are plans I've made that just flat out stink. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking. Whether it's a week later or 10 years later, I look back and I think, what on earth was I thinking? Well, the answer was, I wasn't thinking. That was the problem. But nonetheless, we make our plans, and if we are faithful to him, he will direct our steps, in which case, many times, it's he will redirect our steps from where we wanted to go or thought we wanted to go to where we are supposed to go. Without going into any detail, that just happened today, and I am thrilled. So I'm a little bit on cloud nine. But, okay, that's the good news. I've been warning about this for a lot of years. I'm a big Second Amendment fan. We are the only country in the whole world that really has a Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is there for primarily the states to be able to defend itself against an imperious, invasive, overwhelming, dictatorial federal government. People say it wasn't there for the individual rights. Actually not, but that's only because at the time the Constitution was drafted, nobody even considered that an individual needed a right to own a gun. Everybody had guns. You hunted with them. That's how you got your food in a lot of cases. Now, I'm glad it's been applied to that, but understand, I've said for 18 years on the air now, this country will truly, truly, truly be gone when our guns are gone. You see, a government that fears its people is called liberty. People that fear their government is called tyranny. And the Second Amendment is there to fight against tyranny. And all the kinds of ways that Joey, brain-dead skunk in the middle of the road, I'm your left-wing puppet, Biden, every way he and his puppet masters, Barack Hussein Obama, who gets maybe orders from George Soros, who gets them from Klaus Schwab, who gets them from the Antichrist, I don't know. But however that plays out, the fact of the matter is the left, the dark left, I'll throw it in there. Satan wants us disarmed. He doesn't want us to be able to defend ourselves against an unrighteous, dictatorial, left-wing, Christophobic, bibliophobic, so-called phony president like Joey No-Brains Biden. Joey, the guy who on the most sacred day of the year decides to help celebrate Tranny Day with International Tranny Day of Visibility and at the same time prohibits on Easter the celebration on the front lawn. He prohibits anything scriptural. Well, I'll tell you, Muslims aren't going to show up on Easter there with a message. Probably your Orthodox rabbis aren't going to show up, although it's, you know, more, we're looking at Passover, it could be. It's going to be Christians, and he prohibits the Christian message. We are officially a pagan nation. This last week made it official. We've been that, it just hasn't been official. Now, I would encourage people listening to this program to listen to the other programs, kind of the flip side of this program. This program is political with biblical guardrails. The other program is biblical, but I use the same topics to bring out a multitude, a plethora, if you will, of biblical support for the issues that I'm discussing. That's called Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. Look it up if you go on your Rumble. Just type in Robin Walter Show. That's the name of this program. You're going to pull up two things, this program and the Sunday morning program. The Sunday morning programs are most recent and descending order, and you will see a Bible. Those are the Sunday morning programs. If you see my mugshot and a cowboy hat, that is this program. The other one, though, Bible, gavel. I was a judge pro tem here till recently, and I stepped away from that. But the gavel's in that. So that's this program. Deals with the law and grace. I'm sorry, with a Sunday morning program. Law and grace and as it's applied to contemporary events. This program, we let it rip from every other perspective, but rein it in with Scripture. So the question today is, in the desire of Biden to strip us of the only thing that would prevent us from complete and dominant left-wing control, our guns. And you know what? I'm just going to throw this in here. Go. You want to plan for next year's Christmas? Try some ammo as a stocking stuffer. Make sure you are equipped with four firearms, minimum. A good shotgun, a good rifle, a good revolver, and a good semi-automatic pistol. None of them are assault rifles. None of them are assault guns. People kill more people, are murdered in this country by being bludgeoned to death than by assault rifles. That's right, fists. People say, oh, he's unarmed. Well, I'll tell you, a 315-pound guy who's on drugs is armed because he's got two fists. Fists kill more people than AR-15s. And AR does not stand for assault rifle. I talked with a guy yesterday. So I don't think we should have assault weapons. And I said, well, okay, tell me what you define as an assault weapon. Blank stare. And then he says, like an AR-15. Nobody needs to have AR-15s. It's a military-grade weapon. I said, no, it's not. What news are you watching? It's a semi-automatic. I was in the Army. He wasn't. M16, military-grade because it's automatic. Okay. Semi-automatic. Dot. There's a difference. You got it? I said, it doesn't stand. It stands for Armalite rifle, not assault rifle. But most people don't know that AR doesn't stand for assault rifle. So, well, we don't need those things. Well, you don't need those things for defense. And I said to him, well, let me ask you a simple question. Now, this is a friendly conversation, but I'm not letting him go. I got a few minutes to reorient his thinking. If it's not a defense weapon for us, and can't be, why is it a defense weapon for Joey Biden, for Kamala Harris, for Mayorkas, for Merrick Garland, and for every other Democratic yin-yang, and for that matter, for high-level Republicans as well? Why is that gun a defensive weapon only in the hands of their bodyguards, but it can only be an offensive weapon in our hands? He didn't have an answer, because there is no answer. I said, what's it define better an assault weapon now? He didn't have it. I'll tell you what an assault weapon is. An assault weapon is a weapon you use for assault. Go into your True Value hard store, your hardware store, your Ace hardware store, and tell them that you want an assault hammer. The guy gives you this blank stare. He's like, what the heck are you talking about? I want an assault hammer. I don't even know what you're talking about. Look, I don't want to pound nails. I want to pound somebody's brains out. Why? Because hammers and other blunt force instruments are a major cause and tool for murder and homicides in the United States. Far more than assault weapons, so-called. Far more. Okay. All that's a preface to this story. I said this was coming. It's now here, first time, Staten Island, New York. You know, I can't even think, why does all the crap start in New York? Hey, you people in Philly, there's some reason you're not living in New York. Why don't you tell me? Why does all the crap start in New York? Well, this starts at a particular hospital, Northwell Health Hospital on Staten Island. I said this was coming. It's just the first one. It's here. Get ready. That they're trying to integrate gun safety into medical appointments. Now, I have an appointment with a doctor next week, and each year the questions become more invasive and pervasive, actually having not jack squat crap diddly to do with my health. And I'm just going to, now I say I'm not going to answer, or maybe I just lie. And on the Sunday morning program, not too far down the road, I'm going to go through all the biblical examples of when it is okay to not tell the truth without violating the commandment to not bear false witness. Hey, come on, I'm a lawyer for a reason. I find ways to parse these things, but it really does make a difference. There is a difference. If you have to not tell the truth, you don't tell the truth. For a legitimate biblical purpose. I don't talk about this much because most people would take it and run with it as an excuse to do all sorts of heinous things that somehow it's okay. It's a very, very limited application, but it's extremely important. So I hope you catch that other program, well, all the time, but down the road here just a few weeks. So at Hartwell Northwest, I'm sorry, is it Hartwell? What was it? I just lost the name of it here. Northwell Health Hospital in Staten Island. So I guess if you go in there, whether it's, you know, whether you go in there with an upset stomach or whether you go in there with a twisted ankle or whatever it is, you got questions about allergies. Well, they're going to ask you, well, do you have allergies? Yeah, well, whatever. Do you drink alcohol? Okay, I get all these questions. Do you smoke? I get all these things when I go to the doctor now. What they're adding to this is, do you have access to firearms in your home? They're starting to make that. I will predict yet again that there will come a time when if you refuse to answer these questions, you'll be denied your Medicare. And you'll answer the question. That's when you're going to need to not tell the truth for your own self-defense and for the defense of others in your family. So if you answer yes, then who knows what's going to happen after that? I don't know what's happening at Northwell Health if people answer yes to that. Do they start giving them advice about how to store a weapon or blah, 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 all that happy crap? And before I forget, or lest I forget, Jesus was not against firearms. People say, well, Jesus said to turn the other cheek. Oh, come on. Jesus did say to turn the other cheek, and that's when somebody insults you. And, you know, okay, you turn the other cheek and you get a slap on the face, you're supposed to then pull out a gun and kill him? No. No, that's when you're insulted. Somebody blasphemes you. Somebody defames you. You turn the other cheek. Let them have it. Don't mean let them with a gun. Just let them have whatever they want. That's turning the other cheek. But Jesus preached to soldiers who are armed. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Peter lopped off the ear of a high priest servant, I think his name was Malchus, Jesus didn't turn to him and say, Peter, where the heck did you pick up that sword? No, they've been traveling 3 years together. He didn't say that. It's not like Peter just decided to take a sword for the first time to this meeting, and he didn't even know what was going to necessarily go on that night. After all, it's a garden party, right? In the middle of night. That didn't turn out to be a party. But the disciples didn't know what was going on. Jesus would say, didn't I tell you to not take that thing with us? Where the heck you get that? No. He just said, Peter, in essence, put this thing away. Don't get between me and the cross, because I have a job to do, and it's not going to get it done by going around and lopping off the ears of people who are trying to arrest me. I'm supposed to be arrested. I'm supposed to be tried unfavorably and unfairly before the high priest. I'm supposed to go to the cross. I am supposed to die. I'm supposed to take on the sins of the world, because if I don't do that, I don't get to rise from the dead. And if I don't rise from the dead, you're screwed. That's basically what he's saying. Then you're dead in your sins. Boy. And then they got, well, I might as well just finish this. What the hey? So, Jesus is dispatching these people, disciples out. This is the second time, not the first time when he sent them out two by two. And he said, those of you, take a sword with you. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. In other words, the sword for self-defense, to make this clear, self-defense, is more important than staying warm, apparently. Getting cold is better than dead. Now you're cold forever. Well, until you're raised from the dead, right? And then so people try to say, well, that was a spiritual thing. Oh, that's baloney. You cannot spiritualize that little tiny portion of a verse unless you go on and then have to try to spiritualize the disciples' response. The disciples said to Jesus then, well, here are two swords. And Jesus didn't say, you knucklehead, I was talking spiritually, not physically. No. What did he say to the person who said, well, here are two swords? He said, well, that's enough. That's enough for your self-defense. Why? Hey, Jack, you only got two hands. How many swords can two hands hold? Two. Earthed a disciple. I mean, goodness sakes, it could not be spiritualized to be anything else other than the fact that it's a legitimate tool for self-defense. And does it not say in the New Testament that Jesus said, or I'm sorry, that it was Paul saying through the Holy Spirit, that he who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. You're worse than an unbeliever if you don't provide for your own. Shoes, yeah. Clothing, yeah. Food, yeah. Housing, yeah. Maybe AC and heat, yeah. So if you provide for all those things, you wouldn't provide for protecting them? And how does that turning the cheek thing go when somebody comes in your house and said, forget you, I'm going to rape your 14-year-old daughter? How do you turn your 14-year-old daughter's cheek? Do you see how stupid this is? This line of peace at all. Peace isn't peace when you have to sacrifice your liberties, your right, God-given right to self-defense. This is the entry point for other hospitals and agencies, government agencies primarily, to treat firearm injury as a public health issue. And so we got these recent initiatives by the White House, the CDC, the National Institute of Health, all the left-wing crapola organizations which are everywhere, which includes corporate America now, which includes all of academia now, which includes all of the government now, which includes, sadly, some sort of wussy churches that don't dare to stand up for the things of the Word and for the things of God, but would rather go along to get along, sacrifice his rights, so long as it's peace in their neighborhood, then they don't really give a rip about what happens to others or watching the country go down the toilet. So they're trying to integrate gun safety into medical dialogue. So they combine this then with the red flag laws, right? Well, I think my neighbor's got guns, and he really acted hostile to me. This is what a red flag does. So they go and take the guns of the neighbor for a year, and now he's got to prove himself innocent because he's been presumed guilty. Totally, absolutely unconstitutional. And the more red flag laws they get, I actually hope they come real fast so the case can get before the existing Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court just tells the leftists to stick it. These laws are absolutely flagrantly, egregiously unconstitutional because you have taken property contrary to the Fifth Amendment without justifiable cause, and you've presumed the person to be guilty, not innocent. And then there's no recourse against the person who falsely declares the other person to be a danger because he's got a problem over a fence line. Oh, there certainly aren't any disgruntled ex-spouses out there that would lie about their ex threatening this or that, whether it's right or wrong. Hey, I can stick this guy or this gal with a red flag law. I'll tell you, the red flag is the red flag law. The red flags are a flag that we are in trouble as a country without the ability to defend ourselves. And honestly, I told this guy the other day, I said, hey, I would much rather deal with a few lunatics with guns than a lunatic in the White House who is the only one armed and all of his minions. Who has guns today? IRS has them. The IRS needs some. There's a criminal division within the IRS. I know it because I applied for that job before I went to law school. I got accepted. And my wife didn't like the fact that I'd have to be away for some weeks at a time with no contact and I'd have to carry a firearm because it's criminal investigation. I get that for that limited purpose. Department of Homeland Security, the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, has an armed division. Why? What, to shoot those flatulent cows? So I'm going to. So a doctor at Northwell is ultimately going to be a point person to be a factor in deciding whether you are allowed or not allowed to own a firearm. Welcome to 1938 Germany. So we are the pagan country. Well, like I said, officially, Joey from the pit of hell, hope he enjoys hell. That's where he's from. People say, you're judging him. Well, doesn't Scripture say you shall know them by their fruits? There's absolutely nothing about Joe Biden that indicates he's a Christian other than his phony, baloney, fake Catholicism, which he should be excommunicated, deny him communion, and throw his sorry tush out of the church, along with Nancy Pelosi and all these other fakes. They aren't good Catholics. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer's not a good Jew. They all betray the essence of the faith that supposedly defines them. And here's another reason to have firearms. Let me just go down this. Okay, so we know about just a couple weeks ago, I read, because we're in Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona, high-end community, that there's a rash of illegal gang members that are illegals robbing the homes of higher-end homes. They search them out. And why not? Hey, why rob a house that's kind of a dump? I mean, if they can't afford a better house, I'm not denigrating these people, but if you can't afford a more expensive house, you probably don't have more expensive things in your house. Great big, 7,000 square foot house, it costs $3 million. Guess what? They're not going to have furnishings from Goodwill. Nothing against Goodwill. I've bought stuff from there myself, a lot. Orange crates were my first bedside tables for the first 10 years of my adult life. I get that. But they don't want to dink around with something that's going to take high risk but low return. So they go to these high-end homes and they rob them blind. And what are they finding out? There's starting to be a link here because of a rash of illegal alien gangs in Oakland County, Michigan, which, by the way, voted 56% for Bozo Biden. So they're getting what they deserve. These are the people who participate and actually are complicit in the deaths and their withdrawal from Afghanistan. They're the ones that are complicit in the deaths of all the people from fentanyl that's come across the border freely. A border, 100,000 a year now. Biden has a Biden body bag train that is behind him. Wherever he goes, he precipitates death. Apparently just trying to impress his master, Barack Hussein Obama. Hey, you people in Philly, you ought to be liking this program. I'm kind of talking your language, right? So, I don't know. But Oakland County, Michigan, they're finding not only same MO, high-end homes in any community, or the highest of the high-end homes in a higher-end community. They also prefer homes that tend to be more shrubbery, larger parcels, preferably maybe on golf courses, more escape routes. And these homes got hit during spring break. And why? Because they're gone. These people are getting very sophisticated very fast, or they came in sophisticated. Let's hit high-end homes. They got jewelry, nice furniture. If they got a safe, we'll crack it because we know if you got a safe and you got something in there worth saving. We'll do it in places that are less likely to get caught, and let's do it while they're away. So there's the profile. If this fits, just take some extra precautions. You live in a higher-end home, you live on a golf course or some lesser populated area where maybe it's a nice subdivision, but they're on 1 or 2 or 3 acre lots. And there's seasonal vacancy. Northern Minnesota, maybe Florida in the summertime, northern Minnesota and Michigan in the wintertime, wherever those communities are. Take note. And then, to top it off, you got the guys who are now organizing and directing people to homes that they could occupy and squat. Right. And guess what? They're not interested necessarily in homes for sale if they're vacant. Squatters are ripoff artists and see they're rip off as much as they can, so they want a home that's furnished, right? How do you squat in a home that's not furnished? No, it's going to be a furnished home. So it's these seasonal dwellings that they're hitting at this point because it's low-lying fruit. All right? So that's what they're going to hit. And then after they've been there 2 months and the people return from Florida, Minnesota, wherever, Arizona, whatever, wherever they've gone, and they come back, and what do they produce when somebody comes to the door? They'll show a lease, a fake lease. They can find out who owns the property, create a fake lease, a fake signature that person has executed, and then the sheriff cannot just toss them out because they are presumably, at that moment, in legal occupancy of that property. Now, if they come in during nighttime and they think the place is vacant and it's not, you can kill them. Bible says you can kill them at nighttime, not a daytime intruder. Daytime intruder, you have to weigh the circumstances. Is the person a threat? Are you in a reasonable apprehension of imminent, serious bodily harm? Those are the buzzwords for being able to use lethal force in defense. And if you are, the person comes to the house with a gun in the daytime. Obviously, you can defend yourself. If it's a knife, you don't have an obligation, if he has a knife, to put down your gun and pick up a knife so that there's some sort of physical equivalence, like the mindless AOC talks about when she says that Israel has an obligation to share its Iron Dome defense with Palestine so they can defend themselves on the same terms as Israel can. Only somebody like AOC or Nancy Pelosi, who really belong in a line waiting for a brain donor, could make that kind of a comment. Well, I know when I got time for this, I'm going to fit this in really, really quickly here. One of my favorite individuals in the government is Pete Buttigieg. Yeah, that's right, Department of Transportation Secretary. This guy is queer as a $3 bill. This guy has never said anything that makes any sense. And the other day he said that the transportation industry is, quote, moving towards electric vehicles, but we can't let economically smart play happen on its own. I want you to digest. We're going into break here. I guess I'm going to have to finish this on the other side of the break. Think about that for a second. Just how dumb are the people in office? We'll be right back. Robin Walter, Robin Walter Show on Red Sky Radio Network.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, we are back. Love that song by Joe Walsh. It gives you an indication of my age. But hey, I still have an original copy of Ritchie Valens' La Bamba. No, I got it from an older brother. Anyway, back to Pete Buttigieg. Sorry, it's the only way I can say it. The guy nauseates me. This guy, what a ridiculous embarrassment, unfortunately, for the city of Fort Wayne that elected this loser as mayor. But he comes out and says that moving towards electrical vehicles, the industry is moving towards electric vehicles. But we can't let something that's an economically smart play happen on its own. Hey, Pete Buttigieg, you who have had no experience in business, along with Joe Biden, who's had no experience in business, along with Kamala Harris, who's had no business and experience in business. This is a problem. Nobody in government has actually had to run a business. They say, well, we run the government. No, you're not making your own payroll. You spend other people's money. One of the many defining characteristics of Democrats, incredible joy in spending other people's money. But what he's saying here is, this is economically smart, but we can't let that play out on its own. We got to ram and cram, slam and jam it down your throat, America. The EVs suck. Many of them do. They're piling up like crazy on car lots. Well, if it's so economically smart, Pete, why isn't it happening on its own? People think with their wallet, their billfold. I'm from the Midwest. We call them billfolds. We didn't call them wallets. Whatever. They think with their pocketbook. It shouldn't be this case, but Bill Clinton said it's the economy, stupid. Most people will make most decisions based upon the financial consequences. And if an EV sucks as a financial decision, then it's not an economically smart play, is it, Pete? That's why you do have to ram and cram and slam and jam it down our throats, because you can't make it, you can't let it, it's really economically smart, but you can't wait. Why can't you let the economically smart aspect of it play itself out? I'll tell you why, Petey boy, because it won't. It can't. Google sometime, no, don't Google, I hate Google. Go to DuckDuckGo or someplace like that, Gab, one of those more reasonable forums, platforms for searching things out, and take a look at what is the global or climate change impact of producing lithium batteries. And you will see, I wish I had time. I did a program on this. It's a while back. I don't even know what it was to direct you. But at its very, very most optimum result, it takes 8 to 9 years to reach a break-even point vis-a-vis gas engines. Well, guess what? My gas engine, I've got a Honda CR-V. I get 38.5 miles a gallon. It's not even a hybrid. Why would I even want to go to a hybrid? Why? So I can get 43 versus 38.5? The cars are becoming more fuel efficient, less gas emission. But the lithium production, the battery production, is always a constant. gazillions of pounds of ore moved by huge vehicles, which have to be run on diesel fuel. My goodness sakes. And the problem, and we're not even talking about the environmental cost to getting rid of your dead lithium batteries. I love Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah, I'm a Trump guy. I hope he picks. I've been pushing Ramaswamy for over a year now. A lot of people have pushed back, but I'm hearing less and less of the people who pushed back against that 6 months ago all the time. He is Trump 2.0. The guy says the future of the world has to include fossil fuels. More people die of cold than heat. So you want to talk about the global warming? Well, they aren't talking about global warming because we're not warming. That's why they have to talk about climate change. And everything negative or unusual is caused by climate change. You know, the daffodils bloomed late this year. That's climate change. Do you know that the Canada geese migrated south early this year? Well, that's climate change. Do you realize that the Detroit Lions lost in the playoffs here when they in a game that they could have won against, you know, the 49ers? Well, it's climate change. Climate change is the asinine answer to every person who frankly cannot think through a complex issue, doesn't have the time nor want to take the time to actually learn the facts, and are encumbered by a left-wing college degree. I say that I got 3 degrees. I'm not against degrees. But there is not a lot of sanity coming out of our institutions of lower learning. I guess that's what they've become, right? All right. I want to come back to Joey No Brains a second. I wanted to share him on both sides of the break. Because Israel has invariably gone down the toilet when it has at different times, and God has restored them after they repented, and he's faithful to do that through leaders that are evil people. And once the people are evil, it's hard for a good leader to bring them back. There is a king in Israel by the name of Manasseh, arguably the worst king that ever ruled in Israel. Horrible. He caused the people to sin. He shed an enormous amount of innocent blood. Babies, children offered up on sacrificial altars of Molech and Ashtoreth. They were idolatrous. They were sexually licentious beyond the definition of licentiousness. Homosexuality rampant. You had queers with sodomy houses right up against the temple. I think that was in Hezekiah's time. It was a generation or two ahead of him. He caused the country to sin greatly, and then when his grandson came along by the name of Josiah, the most righteous king, actually, in the history of Israel. So there's no king before him, nor no king after him, like Josiah was. He so despised the false prophets that he dug up their graves, the ones that died, and took their bones out and burned them. He didn't even want their bones to be left in Israel. But guess what? Manasseh had so turned the people by his evil leadership against the Lord into idolatry that even then a righteous leader could not bring that country back. It did formally at the visible level, but not in the hearts. And God went on to judge Israel nonetheless. And I say that for a couple of reasons here. First of all, because honestly, even if people hated Trump, like a guy I talked to yesterday, I said, look, he could be crude, he can be this and that. And then I shared with him a couple of examples of people that have had private meetings with him or in small groups that said they cannot believe how subdued he is, how generous he is, how kind he is. His campaign rhetoric is a different person than when he can just deal with people privately. That's why every employee he's had that's been black or Hispanic or whatever, supposedly those who don't like Trump, can only speak superlatives of the guy. It's also why he's setting records among recent modern-day Republicans, as in forever, for having Black and Hispanic support. And of course, he's a big danger. And yeah, he's rude and crude and all those kinds of things. And people say, he's not our savior. Of course he's not. But I need to manage people's expectations. He is the difference between this country being gone and not being gone for one particular reason. Because with his favorability, the only way that Democrats can win again is, yes, if they steal election. Do I believe the election was stolen? Absolutely, unquestionably. And if you think otherwise, you have not seen 2,000 mules. Before you say another word in defense of a fair election of 2020, you need to watch 2,000 mules and tell me that you can somehow contend that all the video footage of ballot boxes being stuffed with referenced and reflected by very furtive behavior of the people involved. I started down that path. I better stop because I'll finish the program with that and I got more to share. But understand, without Trump, the country's gone. With Trump, the country may last for a little while, but without a change in the hearts of the people, the country's gone. He's not our savior. Okay, so Disney threw up the white flag of surrender on their woke ideology because it was costing them money. Because that's the only way that you can hit Democrats is with money. If it doesn't cost them money, they're not going to be moved. You have to shoot them in the financial butt to get them to go along with anything. That's why I've said for years, Republicans are ultimately to blame for where we are in this country with respect to funding all of this crapola, because they fund it. They need to say, all right, I'm okay being a one-term representative here, but we're going to cut the budget by 45%. We're actually going to rein in the budget. We're not going to appropriate it. Too bad, so sad. Hey, goodbye, this loser program, that loser program. Hey, adios to the DOJ or the Department of Injustice for about 40% of your budget, FBI, 55% of your budget. Eliminate the Department of Education. This is, and I was saying this a long time before Vivek Ramaswamy. He's never heard this program, but we're talking the same language. You got to cut the head off the snake, or the thing can still bite. And the head off the snake is the money that is feeding these agencies, which are absolutely the fuel for total dominance. The agencies and all the employees overwhelmingly vote Democrat, which is why Joe Biden recently gave all federal employees a nice fat raise. Did they lose their job during the pandemic? Heck no. No, they got the full pay, full benefits while they're sitting doing their work about 2 hours a day on a laptop in pajamas at home. Not the rest of us. We actually have to work for a living. There's some good federal employees, but there's a whole bunch of just simply been co-opted. And if you don't think that that's a disaster, go read 1 Samuel chapter 8 and take a look at what happened to Israel and the warning to Israel about electing Barack Obama. Oh, sorry, I mean Saul. Go read that and tell me you don't see Barack Obama in there and the consequence of growing the government at the complete expense of the people, even to the point of impoverishing them, to the point where they're screaming out for new leadership. And God says, sorry, I can't do anything for you. You chose that leader. Your job. Okay, but back to Joey. Biden is just simply evil. And one writer, I don't think this writer even knows. I take that back. He probably does know the biblical passages. Bob Unruh, UNRUH, with WorldNet Daily, who said, talk about Joe Biden when he was memorializing trannyism and transgender bull crap on Easter and prohibiting the display of anything Christian on Easter. Why? Because a little bit of lightness impacts a whole lot of darkness. They can't stand the sin that they're committing which would become more of an indictment and more compelling if in the presence of biblical scripture on the front lawn of the White House. But the one said, Biden is spitting in the face of Jesus Christ. And he is, and he does, and he did. Now, I'm going to let you do a little tiny bit of homework. I'm going to let you find the exact verse, but I'm going to give you the book, Numbers chapter 12. And what does it talk about? It talks about the consequences of a person spitting in their father's face. Yeah, it does. Now, ignoring the fact that Biden's father is actually the devil, devil's a father of lies, and so if he's got a father, he's got children. And Joey No Brains is one of them. Gosh, I hope you people in Delaware are hearing this. Maybe you could finally get a vote right. Maybe you voted against him. God bless you if you did. But the fact of the matter is, you don't spit in your father's face. In one sense, he is the father. He's a creator, is he not? So that allegiance, that reverence, that awe, that respect, that honor is due our Father in heaven, not the devil. But like the third of the angels that decided they didn't like the Father in heaven, they wanted to be something unto themselves. Joey, pit of hell Biden, has decided to spit in the face of Jesus Christ and still expect that he should be allowed to take communion. Wow. Well, the evil doesn't stop there, obviously. Right in the heart of the Bible Belt, Mount Juliet, Tennessee, you got the guy who, on Easter Sunday, maybe pulled up Saturday night, I'm not really sure, with a trailer loaded with Bibles. No, he did, I'm sorry, he did show up Easter morning at a church in Tennessee with a trailer loaded with Bibles and set them on fire, burning the Word of God. Now, they caught the guy. And, you know, I don't know what happens to him. I mean, the ultimate punishment is the great white throne judgment, where he gets to face his second death if he doesn't confess. But this is the boldness of the enemy. From Biden spitting in the face of Jesus Christ, proclaiming that eliminate chemical castration, essentially a forced... it's not forced. An 11-year-old girl or 12-year-old girl has her breasts removed, not because she's demanding it necessarily, but she's talked into believing she's another person. The suicide rate is 100% higher for trannies who've had the surgeries than those who contend that they're a tranny and haven't. Think about that. Person asked me the other day, how do you explain this? And I said to her, I said, well, it's pretty easy. I said, transsexuals are actually homosexuals. They can't deal with their sin. It's an indictment. They're convicted of their sin. So trying to absolve themselves of any personal responsibility, they pretend that they must actually be really the opposite sex, which then legitimizes being supposedly the opposite sex, legitimizes their illegitimate desire for their same sex, what they really are. Voila, problem solved. But it isn't. The conscience marches on. And so Biden is blasphemous, spitting in the face of God. And this is the president who still supposedly has 44% support among the people in this country. Now, I'm not sure I believe the surveys for what they say, but if they're even close, that 44% of the people in this country would still support Joe Biden over Donald Trump tells you just how deep a doo-doo we are in. My goodness. And when they parachute in the JFK of the 21st century, Gavin Greaseball Gruesome, in to replace Joey, and he probably would beat Trump for all the wrong reasons, because people want a king that they that they like after the flesh. Let's 1 Samuel chapter 8, the tall, the dark, the handsome, well-dressed, charismatic, blah, blah, blah. Who gives a rat's rear end that he hates children in the womb and he's got baby's blood dripping from his eye teeth so much that it makes Count Dracula look like he's pro-life? Who cares? And then we just get the judgment that we deserve, right? Well, what trails behind all of this is, you know, it says in the Bible that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You steal if you don't have to kill, and then you, if you, like I talked about with the burglar, that you catch in your house, he'll end up killing the only witness. So you steal if you can do it without having to kill, but you'll kill if you have to complete your act of stealing. And then if you can, you complete your act of stealing, you kill somebody and you're arrested, then comes destruction. What? Well, that's the defense trying to destroy the case of the plaintiff, even though they're dead guilty. But steal, kill, and destroy is an interesting chronology of the way not only spiritually things happen, but the way things play out in natural crime scenarios. But behind Biden, behind Obama, and behind the Clintons, is just a growing line of body bags. And so the FDA comes out, FDA, Food and Drug Administration, comes out the other day and said that there's a good case to be made for poor kids, kids from poor families, to be aborted. Why don't you just come out and say, black people, look, there's too many of you guys around here. I think you need to abort more. Or Hispanics, you need to abort more. Why is a disproportionate number of planned non-parenthood clinics in minority neighborhoods? Why don't the pro-abort people ever stand up and answer that question? They can't. Therefore, death. They came to steal, kill, and destroy. They're about their father, the devil. So the FDA says, yeah, you should. These are the ones that should more likely be aborted. This is the mentality of the left. The Biden FDA, they're parroting the Rockefeller Foundation, Population Council, all their racist claims by telling the court in the present Supreme Court case dealing with chemical abortions that children should be aborted because they're more likely to be unfit for school, for adulthood, and for society, apparently when they come from those neighborhoods. Tell that to Ben Carson, son of a mother who worked her fanny off to provide for him, single mother in Detroit, poor family. And look at that guy. And every time some child gets aborted because it's an assumption that they are not going to be able to make it, they're not going to be able to perform, they don't want them to grow up poor. Well, that parent is the one who has decided that their child's going to grow up poor. But the child that's executed doesn't have that choice. Isn't it interesting that people say they're pro-choice are actually all against choice? No, a choice for the mother is not a choice for the dead child. Would you not think that the one who is going to be harmed the most should have the higher vote? But they're not even allowed to vote. Children in the womb are effectively disenfranchised while the left carrying out its barbarian practices from the high court of Satan, carrying out their barbarian practices, declare that the woman should have the choice to kill her. If a woman says, well, I'm pro-choice. I believe a woman should be able to choose. Tell him or her, choose what? Hot dogs or filet mignon? Mercedes or a Yugo? Okay, I get it. But finish a sentence. Because if forced to finish a sentence, they're going to have to say that the woman should have the right to choose whether or not she kills her child. Ask people this question. You will defeat every pro-abort. Tell me, with what part of this statement do you disagree? Abortion is the intentional killing of innocent, unborn human life. If they think they have any retort to that, they're a moron. They're a brutish moron with maybe no conscience. Or, as one person I shared it with screamed, and she said, "Oh my gosh." She couldn't defend against it. And another one that I said, "You think it's part of a woman's body? Well, I'm going to get graphic here. What woman has a penis if the child in the womb is a boy? More than that, take a needle and do a pinprick in your left index finger and your right index finger. Draw a blood sample and see if the DNA matches. Because if the DNA doesn't match, then there are about 10,000 criminal convictions that need to be overturned. And if your DNA doesn't match, you need to be in a freak show. And why should it match? Because it's part of your body." Here's another scream that came out right during a church service. The woman was turned just with this piece of evidence. And that is, the child in the womb has different DNA. How can it be part of the woman if it has a different DNA? But guess what? You and I have the DNA of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Life is in the blood. The life is in the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Welcome again, Philly, Northern New Jersey, Delaware. We'll see you next week. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. Oh my God.